He asked me when a couple weeks ago to talk this morning, and then my question to him right away was, what do you want me to talk about? Because sometimes it's easier to have direction than pick your own subject if I have to pick it. And he said something about studying the scriptures. And I was like, he said, that there's something other on your heart. And at that point in time, I was like, I would like to sometime share part of the journey that God took me through in the last many years of me being a Christian. And I thought I was going to go with that, but honestly, it was soon after that I believe it was a spirit that goes to me that, no, you sometime that may happen. But today, we are going to talk about the Word. And when I talk about the Word, I'm talking about this book, this Word that has been given by God Himself. One thing that we have to get into our minds when we talk about this book is who we're studying and who we're worshiping and who actually wrote this book, who poured out His Spirit. And we're going to be touching on some of those things. We're going to be going through a lot of scriptures, but I'm not going to be having you open your Bibles to a lot of scriptures. Sometimes that almost comes in the way I will be quoting scriptures and actually reading at some of the scriptures I have written here. So we're going to be doing a lot of Bible studies, but we're going to be actually hopping around a little bit, if you will, for the points that I'd like to bring out this morning. I almost had a mistake. Here's my Sunday school lesson. I'll lay that down here so I don't get confused. First off, we want to talk about the God that we serve. Who is this God that we are actually here saying that we're serving this morning? That we like to, there's a tremendous amount of a study in the being that we serve. Who is He? First is this, He is Alpha and Omega. What does Alpha and Omega mean? It means, literally speaking, in the Greek alphabet, it is A to Z. He is the beginning, He is the end, He is everything in between. That means that He is the beginning and the end. There is no other God than Him. He is the creator of the universe. Genesis 1:1 is one of my favorite scriptures. But the first little phrase that has always got my attention since childhood. In the beginning, God. This is the being that we serve. There was no one before Him. After time, as we know here, is done, there was no one after Him. He is really, seriously, the beginning and the end. He created us. We have barely scratched the surface of what science thinks they're so smart. It amuses me. And then they find something new that opens up a whole new world that they understand that the little thing or the little spectrum that they're looking through has now opened up a completely new world. Glenford talked this morning a little bit in Sunday school about how, is it the Hubble telescope? And the more they look out into just something as simple, if you will, the stars, they're looking billions and billions of light years out. They're realizing that the pinprick of understanding that we had, it is not what he said like this. It is not what we expected. I'm not sure what they expected. Just more rocks, more dust. I'll tell you what they found. They found more God is what happened. He's a person who I think he knows men are kind of getting more knowledgeable, not smarter. And he keeps expanding his horizons, I believe, so far ahead of us. But this is the God that we serve. He's the creator of the universe. Everything we have, everything we touch, everything we see is Him. He's the only living God. All other gods are dead. All other gods have no life. He's our Father. He's the one who truly cares for us. A father that is a godly father, he is the rock in the home. He is a teacher in the home. He really, truly cares for us. He's also going to be our judge. End of time. You will stand in front of him. I don't care if you're ready, not ready, anything in between. There is no in between. You're going to be ready or you're not going to be ready. He's going to judge us. The scriptures, again, is very, very clear. He will open a book. In that book, your name is either going to be the book of life or it's not. The other book that he talks about in this thing is the book of our deeds. There's two things going to happen with that book. And this is what this book says. It is either going to be the deeds that we have done or the pages are going to be blank, I'm convinced. If you're a Christian, you have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, I think those pages are going to be clean. Wiped away, forgiven, not there. Sometimes we think that it's going to be when we get to the other side is, what if I forgot something? God's blood, or Jesus' blood, is much more powerful than that. The second question I had when I thought about this word, about this scripture, how did it come to us? 2 Timothy 3. Now, I am going to turn to that real quickly. I have it actually marked in my Bible. So 2 Timothy 3:16 reads like this. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. It's given by inspiration of God. NIV puts it this way, and I really, really like this way the NIV brings it out. It talks, all scripture is God-breathed. When I breathe something, it comes from in me. There is no breath coming out of me that hasn't been a part of me. All scripture is God-breathed. What that really means is this. Every page in this book has the breath of God in it. The breath of God gives life. I believe that God breathed life into Adam and Eve, but there is that the valley of bones, and God breathed life into them. That's what he does to us. You touch this Bible, and there is going to be life breathed into you. I think it is impossible to study this and not have it impact you. You can be an atheist, and this has happened, who have studied the scriptures, and somehow the life that is a part of it, of this book, has breathed life into these people. What it does is, why does this happen? It is really simple. You touch this, you're touching the breath of God. That's one of the ways it came. He spoke to men of old. 2 Peter 1:21 says this. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, not because someone was so smart or because a man decided to sit down today and he's going to write a book. By the will of man, but by holy men of God. There again, those men were of God. Spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And again, it goes back speaking of the breath of God. This book did not just happen. He talked to different men like Moses. He talked to men like John. The scriptures written by men. I don't think there's any page of this that I'm aware of that God wrote down and said, this is other than, I will take that back. The Ten Commandments are on the first set of rocks. He did write those down. What is in this book? One of the most interesting thing about this book is the stories. My wife is right now going through the reading the Bible from, she has this program, I think, on her app. She's reading through the scriptures. And right now, they take a chapter of the Old Testament and they take a chapter of the New Testament, if I remember correctly. And this is what you read for the day. There is things that have come alive to her that she has never known of. She keeps telling me these stories. And that's the number one thing I want to talk about the scriptures. It is full of stories. What's the big deal about stories? We all love a good book. One of the books that is a big thing right now is that the kidnapping of those people that were down, I believe it was Haiti, that walked out of being imprisoned. What a good book does is this. It pulls you into the plot line. It pulls you into the story. It drops you into the feet of the people that are, that wrote this book. And you actually, in your own mind, are walking with them. This is what happens when you look into the scriptures. We just came through studying Job. If you really study the book of Job, you kind of feel his pain. When you look at what last Sunday's Sunday school book was, the pain that he felt because everyone abandoned him, even his wife found his breath offensive because he was so utterly alone, that only comes out through the pages of the book. We have the privilege of dropping ourselves into the emotions of the stories. This is an incredible thing about this. This is not just teaching. It is teaching through stories. This is how things were done for many thousands of years. Stories and lore were passed down from generation to generation. What else is in it? It is love stories. Something as simple as Jacob and Rachel. He met Rachel, and there's one thing it says about him. He loved her. It shone. She was his favorite. There is that love story. You see that through the scriptures. That when God brings someone together, a lot of times the man looked at his wife and he loved her. There's love stories. There's action stories. I loved action stories. When I was a young man, Daniel in the lion's den. David and Goliath. What young boy did not want to be King David at one time? The other stories that were in there is stories that impact every one of us. Every Christmas, we have the stories of the birth of Christ, of his parents running from the government. Again, we're kind of dropped into the soul of Mary when she finds out that she's pregnant. We only know this because of the stories that we can read. The second thing that's in this book is instructions. It is our manual for life. Henry and I are mechanics. Sometimes we get confused because our memories get kind of befuddled. What we sometimes have to do, us older people, now we have the internet, we have to open up a manual. What this manual does, it tells you, it gives you guidance and direction and tells you how to do things. There are some times that I have looked at a manual for, let's say, a generator system, for instance. You follow wire point A, point B, to point C, to point D, you find your problem. That's your manual. This is what our scriptures is. It is an instruction manual. You cannot read this scripture and not be changed, because if you're actually looking for answers, it will give you answers. It will give you an instruction manual. Ten Commandments. Exodus 22 through 17. It's all there. All the things that we should and should not do. It is an instruction manual how to live and how not to live. Teachings of Christ and apostles. If you have a question about life at all, spiritual life, read the New Testament. Study it. The instruction manual is all there. The other thing that is really interesting about the New Testament, or about the Bible, is the warnings. If you look at warning labels, and sometimes on the side of an engine, you will see warning labels by the engine fan, of all things, and it shows a hand. In this hand, it shows a couple of fingers leaving, with something slicing them off. This warning labels actually mean something. How do I know? Somebody didn't listen or pay attention. That's what happens with the warnings that are in our scriptures. Genesis 2, 16 and 17. Adam and Eve could not eat of the tree of knowledge. Warning. You eat this, you will die. Warning. It was there. It could have not been in more black and white. What happened? They ate. Guess what happened? they died. Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever one sows, he will also reap. Number one thing that the devil does to us as human natures, or into human nature, or people with human natures, he gets us to question the same question that actually he asked Eve. Hath God said? Does he really mean it? We don't have to go very far at all, even into Christendom, if I may call it that, where they are questioning, is it right or is it wrong? Does the Bible really mean that? I'm sorry to tell you, but it does. Whatever we do, that you will reap. You reap to the wind. The Bible says you're going to reap a whirlwind. What's interesting, sometimes we sow to the wind, and even though we get saved, we ask for forgiveness, the whirlwind comes back to you. The Bible does not lie. It's a warning, and it means it. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. When we get built up in pride, and pride is so invasive in all of our lives, pride hits, I'm convinced of this, every one of us in different ways. Pride can show up as humility. Pride can show up as something that you think you're really good at. And then this is what the devil does. He will get you to dwell on what you perceive as your strength. This is where pride starts. What you're actually doing, if God has given you a gift and you keep any of that honor for whatever gift God has given you, you are stealing from God the Father is what you're doing. This is why a proud and a haughty spirit goes before a fall. Because God cannot stand anybody taking glory. You're thieving from him. The other thing that really is interesting to me and actually comforting to me is the promises that God has put in his book. When God promises, it happens. When God promises something, he really does mean it. God cannot lie. This is something that has really hit me. The reason God cannot lie is because the creator of lying is his nemesis, the devil. So therefore, he can't lie. It's not a part of his DNA, if we can put it that way. What are his promises? A couple big ones. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, number one, he is faithful. That is number two. He's not going to lie and leave you hang. And just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He says as far as the east is from the west. Sometimes we get to thinking back over our life and we think of the dumb things or the things that we have done that maybe we have never told somebody. And then we do sometimes believe more wonder, have I been forgiven for those things? You have given your life to Christ. You have asked him for your forgiveness. Everything in your life has been forgiven. As far as the east is from the west. That's a promise. This is something else that really, really hit me last evening. Isaiah 41:13. For I, the Lord, your God, again, we have to be a part of his family. The Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who says to you, fear not, I am the one who helps you. I brought something along to kind of illustrate this point. I don't know if you can, this is a picture. Can you see this in the back? Can you see that? No? Yes? You can see it? That's a picture of me and my granddaughter. When you look in that picture, this is what you see. You see grandfather, which is me, walking with the little granddaughter beside him. The picture that's happening here actually is exactly what it is. There is a tremendous amount of affection traveling down this arm to this little person beside me. This could be my other two grandsons. It could be them. But there's a picture of me somewhere on the internet or probably on Facebook of that somewhere. So join my wife's Facebook. You'll see it all. But there's a tremendous amount of affection and love traveling this way. There isn't a ton of love and affection going from her up. All she knows is that she is loved by this dude beside her. This dude beside her is going to protect her with his life. Go ahead and touch her. Go ahead. You'll bring something out of me that I don't know that I might have to repent of. But that's how God feels about us. This can be a point of God the Father can be this person right here. This is who God wants to be. It doesn't always mean that we understand the love that is pouring from this big dude down to the little person. We think that we have to be showing all kinds of love up before this person here can show love down. The point is, we don't have to understand God's love. God says, and I never knew this scripture before, I will take your right hand and I will pour my love into you. All we have to do is say, Jesus Christ, I'm going to turn my face towards you. I'm going to walk with you. If you notice, she's not trying to walk away from me. She's walking with me. This is what she's doing. This has really grabbed me last evening, how big a deal that is. Fear not. And if you, let me go one step further on this. We as human natures are weak. We worry about tomorrow. We worry about our families. We worry about, we all have our concerns. Some of us worse than others. And this is God's promise to you. Fear not. I am the one who helps you. If God says he's going to help you, guess what he means? He means just that is what he does. 1 John 14, I'm going to turn to that. 1 John 14, verses 1 through 3. This is the last promise that I'm going to be touching on. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Verse 4. I just had an anniversary. Not my marriage. That's June the 8th. I did remember. But I had another anniversary here just a couple weeks ago. My wife informed me one morning. She goes, you know, this is the day that your mother died. Someday, if I walk straight, if I keep my face pointed towards God, I'm going to walk through those gates. And meet her again. Fact, if you have loved ones there, you can meet them again. There is a promise. There's other people I'm going to see. I'm looking forward to seeing Adam and Eve, of course. I'm looking forward to seeing Job, one of my personal heroes. King David, can't wait to see that man. He always was a hero ever since I was a kid, probably because of the slingshot. I'm also going to see Apostle Peter. I'm going to see John. That was on the Isle of Patmos. But I'm going to see my grandparents also. I'm going to see everyone that has went before me. Believe it or not, there is a doctrine out there that kind of believes, and I'm not going to argue, you can corner me afterwards, that we aren't really going to know or recognize the people when we get to heaven. I don't think that's true. How are we going to know Apostle Peter? How did the people recognize when when Moses and was Isaiah that came down were with Christ. We're going to recognize people, but our focus is going to be God, not our family. One last thing on the scriptures is prophecy. 27% of this scriptures is prophecy. I'm not here to start a small fire in this church and start talking about prophecy. Are we all millennial, premillennial, pamillennial, everything in millennial you can possibly think of? Not going to do it. I'm going to make one statement about it. Revelations, Daniel, every prophecy, all 27% of the scriptures of them are going to be fulfilled. And I would argue literally. Every prophecy that I know of in the scripture has been lived out in it. Jesus Christ. Is he just a spiritual being who showed up and was kind of a spirit that was here? No, he was physically here. I really strongly believe every scripture is going to be physically come true. Just keep your mind open. Don't get mired in your opinion. Because sometimes I think with our big opinions, we can miss what's happening right in front of us. How do we study the Word? This is something that has been kind of a big deal to me. There's different ways to study the Word. One is daily devotions. And I know we had one minister where we come from, he used to hammer on this to the point of he was almost a broken record. But he was right. You need your daily walk with God. You need your daily dose of this. Read it. Sometimes that's the easiest way. It's actually not the easiest way, but it is one of the ways that you can have this injected into your mind. I, for many years, did not actually do daily devotions. What do you do when your daily devotions feels dry and meaningless? Some people will say, keep reading. That's one way. This is what worked for me. You find, and I'm not saying stop reading your scriptures. I'm not saying that for one second. But this is one of the ways that God took me through one of the parts of my journey. I figured out I was doing my Bible reading and prayer out of pure fear that God would not bless me if I did not do it. I had to go through a time, I think sometimes, of dry and meaningless just stop. This is what I started asking God for. Did you realize the hunger and thirst in the scriptures is something that's given to you? You cannot hunger and thirst something, and you cannot make yourself. I cannot make myself hungry if I'm full. I cannot make myself hungry. Sometimes when you're starving, your hunger goes away. But if you're concerned about your meaningless and dry Bible reading, and I'm just about going to guarantee you you're going to go through those times. Ask God for hunger and thirst. This is what you don't want to give up on. Keep asking Him for it. Believe it or not, I started doing my daily Bible readings. It has blown my mind how sometimes going through the daily bread thing in the morning, how often I've opened it up and there prepared months and weeks and months, maybe even years before, the person who wrote that thing for the day hit on the need I had right now. It tells me something. God is talking to me. Other ways to memorize it. If you memorize something, parts of that always stick in your brain. The other thing you can do is listen to the Bible in audiobooks. I love reading audiobooks because I can do that while I'm driving. Either have it on my stereo or at my things you stick in your ear. What happens is this, and I really believe this is what happens. When you imprint something in your brain enough, if your head hears it enough, sometimes even just a thought, there is parts of your brain that you and I don't know where things go into. And then when it is there, God at the most opportune time sometimes will dig that out of your head. So what you want to do, and what I have started doing, if I'm, let's say, going to traveling an hour away on a service call, sometimes I like to listen to an audiobook, listen to a chapter. Well, especially, make that first. I would listen to a chapter or two on audiobook, believe it or not, partway there. This way I get my second dose of God's Word before I ever get to where I'm going. You have to exercise this Scripture. What I mean by exercising it and how to study this, I'm going to put this out to you. If you are feeling like it's not a part of you, or you're not quite feeling alive, or you're not understanding, or it's just kind of going over your head, teach some Sunday school. Why is that a big deal? I've heard it so often said of people who taught Sunday school or lead Bible studies or have a sermon that they study so much harder. And I have found I dig a lot harder when I exercise and when I actually lead out and talk about the Scriptures. Everyone's different. This is my conclusion this morning. Pack your head with this book. It is life. Shall we stand? Father God, we want to thank you so much for you being here this morning. God, we have been looking at your Word. God, I think it pleases you when we talk about your Word. God, I want to pray for everyone here. You know each place each person is at, especially with their Scriptures. God, if there's anybody here that has a walk right now that is dry, God, give them a hunger. If nothing else, God, give them a will to ask you for hunger. God, we thank you so much for the comfort that's in the Scriptures. God, I know right now walking in your kingdom is my mother, my grandparents, some other people that I have loved. God, every one of us here has been touched by the death of a person that maybe even just lately have been touched by the death of a person that we know and we really feel in our souls that are with you. And God, we thank you for that. God, we also know that you have opened a way that we can be with you. God, we can be washed by the blood of your Son, because the blood of your Son makes us clean enough to be in your absolute holy presence. God, we want to thank you so much for your Word, your word, your inspired Word. God, thank you for the breath of life that you have breathed into this Scriptures. God, be with each of us as we go through this week. God, help us to take the light that is inside us and help us to spread that light out. Help us to stop looking inward at ourselves, at our failures, at our things that we deal with. Help us to open the doors of our life up and shine your light out to touch everyone who's around us. God, just bless everyone. Bless everyone who actually called and texted me this morning and said they're praying for me. Give them a special blessing. Pray in Christ's name. Amen.